name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Subsequent to his resurrection from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the evening of that Sunday, the first day of the week, appeared miraculously to his disciples who were gathered together. He immediately showed them the wounds in his hands and sides, and to confirm to them that he was, in fact, the very same person who had suffered that agonizing death on the cross, and that he was very much alive. He blessed them with his peace and breathed on them, giving them the Holy Spirit, a foretaste of Pentecost. Having done this, he sent them out into the fallen world to proclaim the kingdom of God, repentance and the kingdom of God. And with this anointing, he also gave them the charism and authority to bind and loose the sins of those whom they encountered in the building of his kingdom. As we know, one of the 12 future apostles, Thomas, was not present when the Lord did this, and stated that he would not believe unless he could see and feel the wounds of the Lord for himself. So 8 days later, that is to say the following Sunday, our Lord, with the doors being shut, once again appeared before his disciples, even though the doors were shut, saying once again, "Peace be with you." He then told Thomas to place his hands in the wounds on the wounds of his body. "Do not be faithless, but believing," he said to Thomas. To which Thomas answered, "My Lord and my God." And the Lord Jesus said, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." We shouldn't be too harsh on Thomas because the other disciples would not have believed had they themselves not seen the risen Christ. But the Lord, in saying this, makes it clear that the spiritual vision of Christ, that is to say, the vision of the eye of the heart of a repentant sinner of Christ, is blessed by God. We can't see him with these eyes, but we most certainly, by the grace of God, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, can see our Lord with the eye of the heart, the nous. Now, all of this took place on successive Sundays. The Lord's Day, the eighth day, while the disciples of the Lord were assembled together. St. Gregory Palamas, in his commentary on this passage, writes, "You will understand how much better Sunday is than other feast days of what follows. Every other festival comes round once a year, but the Lord's Day comes round four times every month, and this frequent occurrence makes the whole year a year of true remission for us, a year acceptable to the Lord." He writes further, "Let no one out of laziness or continuous worldly occupations miss these holy Sunday gatherings, which God himself handed down to us, lest he be justly abandoned by God and suffer like Thomas, who did not come at the right time. If you are detained and do not attend on one occasion, make up for it the next time, bringing yourself to Christ's church. Otherwise, you may remain uncured, suffering from unbelief in your soul because of deeds or words, and failing to approach Christ's surgery to receive, like the divine Thomas, holy healing." You know, what is this thing about scars, the wounds of Christ? What do scars indicate, even in us? They indicate past wounds that to one degree or another have healed. And in this context, that healing having been those wounds that were inflicted because of our obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ and our service to him. These kind of wounds serve as a reminder of the struggle that we had, the pain and deliverance that we experienced from our gracious Lord. Quoting from St. Gregory Palamas again, He writes, why did he have scars? This enables me to understand something else, that those who have suffered for Christ are adorned forever with their wounds. Windows in a house do not make it less safe and are not something ugly, but a necessary decoration for a building to let in light and allow those within to look out. In the same way, the body's sufferings for Christ's sake and the resultant wounds become for those who bear them windows to let in the light without evening. And when that light shines forth, they will be recognizable by the divine beauty and radiance of their wounds and not their ugliness. One last point that I would like to make about Thomas is that he lost his faith briefly when he was absent from church, but he regained it fully when he was reunited with other believers. To be sure, our current experience of isolation, which has prevented us from being together to worship the Holy Trinity here in God's house, has made us appreciate and long for our return to the Lord's table together. When we can, let us return to the services of the church with a renewed sense of thanksgiving, repentance, and devotion to God. If we have wounds that have been inflicted on us, even wounds that have not been under the sanctification of our Lord, but because of our own sins, let us bring those wounds to our Lord, to his hospital, the church, for healing from within. Like the first disciples, he has a work for us to do, which he begins within us and extends to this suffering world around us. So, dearly beloved, in these days that have been challenging and will continue to be, let us not be faithless as Thomas was at one point, but faithful as he became. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.